I mean, last night I had a 12-year-old come up to me, last night at the end of service, found me in the foyer. He said, "Hey, Pastor, I have changed my perspective." That's what he said. 12-year-old. "I have changed my preaching." 12-year-old, paying such attention. Walks out of church. Finds me. And said, "I have changed my perspective." Listen, if a 12-year-old is listening, and God is moving amongst a 12-year-old and changes his perspective, and folks, we're going to have a service. Same thing in the first service. Had a young lady come up. I said, "Listen, just pray with me. We want to take ground in the right direction for his kingdom and not lose ground." Gang, just so you know, we are in a serious fight for this right here. We are in a serious battle that we would be convinced that this is the truth. That we would be convinced that the enemy can bring everything he's got, and we're going to notice and we're going to be very aware what the enemy's going to throw at us, and we're going to compare it to this, and this is what stands. And we've got to be fully persuaded and convinced that this is exactly the same as it was when it was written, and God meant what he said then and he means what he says now, because there is a serious, serious battle for this generation, for our teenagers and younger, and a serious battle for parents to show up and say, "That's the way of the world. This is the way of God." And we're going to be convinced that God still says what he means in this. And this is our rule right here. Gang, this is real. This is serious. We're going to challenge you this morning. And I have been going over this all week, and I have been praying, God, that I would deliver this in grace with love. I've had a lot of... Another gentleman came up after service. "Would you just... I'm a tither," he says. "Could you please just preach on tithing, because I can get all excited because I'm already there." So in other words, he was challenged. I'm telling you, folks, I want you to get this. I want you to hear this morning. We don't come in here and play church. You know that by now. We come in here and open this and say, "God, this is, when I compare my life to this, which way am I going?" So this is real, folks. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for those who have personally prayed for me this week. I thank you for those who prayed for me last night to have boldness and confidence in preaching your word, to never, ever go backwards in preaching. God, we thank you for just an increase of preaching in this place. We thank you for the work that is being done in this place, God. Incredible. Father, I ask that we come hungry, even if it's challenging, God. That today we can't walk out and say, "I don't see it that way." God, we need to be war ready. And in being war ready, we got to see exactly how the enemy is trying to get us and how the enemy is trying to deceive. He is the greater. We know a thing about the enemy, that he is a great deceiver. We also know we're not to fear him. We're to set our eyes on Christ. We're to keep our eyes on you. We're to be careful. We're to be on guard. We're to be watchful. But our eyes are set on you. But we have to be aware of the schemes of the devil. We have to understand he is the greatest liar of all. Father, I ask that we would all be challenged in this room this morning. Father, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit that you would really open our eyes to see exactly what we need to see. This is individual basis. That there may be one thing, God, that you move in a person's life this morning, in one of the parents, in one of the children, in one of the teenagers, in one of the young adults. It would be specific. I ask that our understanding would be very clear this morning, God. Clear out everything. We just have a clear mind to focus. Father, I ask that our hearts would be word ready this morning. Our hearts would be a sponge to soak this in. God, I ask that we walk out of this place changed, different, because your word is alive and powerful. We leave this place different from when we came in. We leave this place challenged. We leave this place thinking about your word this morning. We leave this place and discuss it, God, amongst our peers and go after this thing. Now I ask that you would ask, God, speak to me this morning. That you would say, "God, let my heart be word ready. Help me to receive your word this morning. God, speak to me this morning." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, come on, let's dig into this. We're talking about He is Able. We've been in this series about faith increasing and watching our faith arise and watching in who we are as children of God, trusting and believing that His Word is true, trusting and believing that nothing is difficult, nothing is hard for God, nothing is impossible for God, that He is able. The title here is Whom Shall I Fear? The secondary title to this message is Chocolate Covered Maggots. That'd be kind of nasty, right? Chocolate-covered maggots, they look good. From afar, they may look like candy. You put them in the freezer, they get nice and hard. I fed my kids chocolate-covered maggots. It was great. They thought it was candy. No, I did not. That's a good idea, though. I mean, there's a point to this. Oh, man, that's way a heads up, Carter. Come on, this is good stuff. If you see little chocolate things in the fridge, go for it, dude. Chocolate-covered maggots, you'll see in a minute. Come on. Turn to two places with me. 2 Timothy 1.12. 2 Timothy 1.12, Daniel 3. We're going to look at if we really are fully persuaded and convinced that God said what He meant. And He meant what He said in regards to who we are in Him, in regards to different things of this world. Come on, please turn to 2 Timothy 1.12. We're going to start right there because I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 1.12, for this reason, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor, and this is Paul is throwing some knowledge at Timothy. He's saying this, for this reason, I also suffered these things. Listen, Paul went through it, man. He was there. He had everything. He had the authority. He gave it all up, followed Jesus Christ, came to this place of repentance, recognized that Jesus was who He said He was. Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King. He understood it, gave up everything. Worked in a life that was pursuing Christ and imitating Jesus, winning the Gentiles, going after it. This caused persecution. This caused suffering. This caused shipwreck. This caused stoning. This caused whippings. I mean, he went through it all. And he comes to Timothy and says this, in everything that I have suffered, he says this, I am not ashamed. In everything that I have gone through, I know who Christ is, and I am not ashamed of everything that I have gone through for His name. Look what he says. I am not ashamed, for I know, I am convinced, I am positive, I will not waver in whom I have believed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced, I am fully persuaded that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. This is what he is saying. He's coming to this point to say right here, I have gone through it all. I have been alone. I have lost everything. And he says this, I'm not ashamed of Christ because I know who He is. I am convinced that He is exactly who He said. I am convinced that He is the Christ. I am convinced that He is the Messiah. I am convinced that He is the King. I am convinced that He is deity. I am convinced that He was from God. I am convinced that He died and He was buried and He was resurrected. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I am convinced in whom I have believed. Therefore, I am not ashamed. Incredible. He says, I am fully persuaded that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Folks, I look at this and I see Scripture and I'm thinking, point number one of this is this, are we fully convinced? Are we fully convinced in who Christ was? Are we fully convinced that yes, we come to this place of salvation, we come to this place that Jesus died for me, Jesus is the only way, Jesus put Himself on the cross, how amazing that is, but I am convinced that I am saved through Christ, but some things in this book, man, they're old school. Some things in the book, really, they just don't apply for today. Then you're not really convinced that all Scripture is inspired by God. You're not really convinced about what God says about modern things today. And I tell you what, when we get into this, folks, I want you to leave this place convinced, fully persuaded, that the Word still stands today. And realizing that there's a serious fight and there's a serious battle with chocolate-covered maggots where the enemy likes to make things look so good. And the core of it is nothing but a dead maggot. You got to see this. Daniel 3, please. Because we're starting out with being convinced because we're going to see three young men probably in their 30s that were convinced, fully persuaded, that their God was God of Israel. Their God was a one true living God. Their God was Yahweh. Their God was Jehovah. That they were convinced in everything that they went through in their lives up to this point. They could never be persuaded otherwise. In everything that took place, they come to this point to get before a fiery furnace and be so convinced and so persuaded that God is exactly who He said He is. They look at the king right in the midst of a public setting and set the record straight, folks. This is huge. Verse 15, Daniel 3. You've got this whole thought of you've got the king Nebuchadnezzar. All right? You've got this king who comes to this point right here, who has built a golden image, could be possibly of himself, on a hill, 90 feet tall, golden head. This thing was an image that was to be worshipped. This thing was an image, possibly of himself, that he said, listen, when you hear the horns, when you hear the bagpipes, when you hear all the commotion, every person is to bow down and worship this golden image. Right? Here you got these three, now about 30-some Jewish men. The horns go, they refuse to bow. They get ratted out, right? The people who are jealous, they come, they rat them out, say, hey, king, those three you brought in as slaves about 20 years ago, they're not bowing down to your golden image. He says, well, this is the deal. Anyone who doesn't bow down gets thrown into the fiery furnace. So this is a public deal. He gathers the three, brings them all out to make a big public thing about this. Verse 15, he says this to the three. Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, he goes through the list, and he says, then fall down and worship the image that I have made. He says, listen, I'm giving you a second chance. Come, we're going to blow the horns. If you were to fall down and worship, we'll call this thing a done deal. Be very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. He says this, highlight this. For what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? What an arrogant king. What God is there? I'm in control of this circumstance. You're before me. Don't you see? Listen, the fire started, man. This thing is hot and it's raving and you refuse to bow down. What God is there that's going to deliver you in my hands? You see the fire? Do you see the furnace? You're under my command, he said. I'm in charge here. There's not another God that can deliver you out of my hands. Look at this. Amazing. Convinced. Fully persuaded. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. In other words, you don't need to give us a second chance. Don't go through the horns. We don't need a second. We already know the answer. Don't go through that whole thing. Know this. This is what they say. This is amazing. For if it be so, our God, what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands? Look at the circumstance, guys. Check it out, three. I'm in charge. What God is there that's going to deliver you out of my hands? You know what they said? Our God. Convinced, fully persuaded that the one true living God that they were trained under, mom and dad, trained them for years on who the real God was, and it was Jehovah. And they didn't waver. They didn't move. They didn't budge. What God will deliver you out of my hands? They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. But now look at this. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image which you set up. Let it be known to you, your gods are not our God. Our God will deliver us. And listen, this is huge. Our God is able, but even if he does not. Listen, you've got to understand this. This is enormous. They are in this circumstance. This is a public setting. King is trying to get some face back from these three who've defiled his rule. In public, they look at the king and say, our God, we're never going to bow down to your gods. We're never going to worship your gods. And this foolish little humongous image that you've set up, we will never bow down to that golden image. But know this, today we will be delivered. You know what they're saying? Throw us in that fiery furnace, and even if we die, we've been delivered. Even if we die, we are so confident in who our God is, we know that we will be in His presence. Even if we die, we've been delivered. And if He shows up and He delivers us from the fiery furnace, we've been delivered. Saying this publicly to the king, the next part of this, the Bible says the king freaked out, man. He got angry. The Bible, you ever meet somebody, hopefully not, that their face contorts when they get so fiery angry? You know this is going to be bad, right? I mean, the Bible says the king's face changed. It got contorted because this is public. They shamed him once. They stood their ground twice. And the king got furious. He says, you fire that furnace up seven times hotter than... Listen, you throw in any fire of blame, it doesn't have to be fired seven times hotter to burn. He was just so angry. He's making a point. So here they were fully convinced, fully persuaded of who their God was, the one true living God. Daniel 1, please. I want you to see how they got there. This is huge. You got to understand, 20 years prior to that furnace deal, these youth who were 14, 15 at the time were taken captive and taken slavery from their home. 14, 15 years old. Ripped from mom and dad, ripped from their home, never to see home again, never to see their parents again, traveled 700 miles to Babylon to be put into slavery, 14. Could you imagine they are 34 or 35 standing before a fiery furnace and saying, our God will deliver us. We are fully convinced and persuaded that there is one God. All your gods are false. This image that you set up is false. Could you imagine that at 14? Ripped from home, ripped from parents, and brought to Babylon as slaves. I want to show you this. This is huge. The first order of the king. When these youths showed up. I want you to see this. Verse 4. And the youths, this is what he says. I want you to pick the youths who have no defect, good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, who had the ability to serve in the king's court. He says, I want the best crop that you can get me. You bring the 14 and you bring the 15-year-olds to me, and I want the best ones they got. Because this is what the first order of business was, to reprogram these teens. You got to see this. The first order, 14, folks, never to see home again. Ripped into slavery. And then the king says this. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. I want you to teach them our way. I want them speaking our language. I want them knowing our history. I want them knowing our literature. I want them to know the way of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. I want them to forget their way in Israel. I want them to forget who they once were. And I want them to know who they are here. Now they are a part of us. Now they belong to us. He begins to reprogram them, teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Educate them for 3 years. Put them through the system. This is huge. I want you to see this. Verse 6. Now among them were the sons of Judah who were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Some of us probably have not heard those names. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The king went so far as to do a complete ID change to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why would he do that? If he seriously has this mindset, you're going to know our ways, you're going to speak our language, you are going to be as we are. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. Mishael means who is like the Lord. Azariah means the Lord is my helper. Every one of these, listen, to get a name was huge. It represented something enormous, and every one of their names represented Yahweh or their God. The king says, can't have that. You are now to serve our gods. You are now never going to be called those names again. But Daniel, you're going to be known as Belshazzar, which is Bel, protect the king. Bel was a foreign god. Hananiah, you're going to be now known as Shadrach, command of Aku. Aku was the moon god. Mishael, you're going to now be known as Meshach, who is what Aku is, moon god. Azariah, you're now Abednego, servant of Nago. You are no longer servant of the Messiah. You're no longer servant of God. You're no longer servant of Jehovah. You are now servant of a false foreign God. These are our gods. Could you imagine that at 14? Your whole world flipping upside down, being taken out from home, 700 miles away, put into slavery, and reprogrammed. Never to be known by their real names, which represented Yahweh, Jehovah God. But now you will be known as our gods. 20 years later after this, they're standing in front of the fiery furnace, refusing all of these years to buy into that lie of being reprogrammed. And folks, this day, today, we've got to understand something, man. The enemy, Satan, is called the father of lies for a reason. He is called the deceiver because he is the greatest liar. He is the one who has the greatest ability to deceive. And I look at where we're at today, and I look at our young people, I look at our teenagers, I look at our college kids, and I see this serious reprogramming trying to take place. Please, please hear this. We see what is taking place through music, through movies, through television, through shows that are nothing more than chocolate-covered maggots. Because they will present things to you and try to reprogram my kids, try to reprogram your kids, try to reprogram a whole generation to forget that God said what he meant and he meant what he said, to forget and be fully persuaded of God's word. And it is so subtle. I want to show you some things. Look at this. These are modern television shows that are prime time. And please see this. The new normal. Look at the reprogramming here, folks. The new normal, a single mother's life as she becomes a surrogate for a gay couple. You know what? Our kids hear over and over, that's normal. Oh, same-sex marriage, that's normal. That's fine. That's normal. God says, no, it's not. Look at this. Modern family. Again, modern family, the new normal. You've got to see this. Modern Family explores the many different types of a modern family through the stories of a gay couple, their daughter, a straight couple and three kids, and the multi-couple and their son. So look at this. Of course, you would think, well, if there are two parties in the house, they have to have a child, and then all of a sudden they're a family because now there's three, maybe four, maybe five, and that is modern, and that is family. So we go from normal to family, and these are very, very popular shows. And they wrap it up with such good-looking people. They wrap it up in comedy where it's fun to watch. And that's chocolate-covered maggots, folks. Where there is some reprogramming that is trying to take place because the enemy is such a deceiver and he is such a liar. That he lies and he lies and he lies and he lies. And if we are not careful, at an age where you can make your own decision, if we are not careful as parents, we might look at this and say, well, it's funny. We may look at that and say, well, it's harmless. And your kid is being programmed to think that it's normal and that that's family. Look at the next one. This is huge. Folks, there's a religion called Wiccan or Wicca, that is a very fast-growing religion that is satanic at its core, that is against God, against the Word at its core. And this is, please know this, this is nothing to play with. This is nothing to dabble in. This is nothing to think that it's okay. The Wizards of Waverly Place, put on by Disney, I just saw yesterday that there's a whole new show. I don't even know who this girl is. There's a whole new show coming out with this girl where there's a spell that takes place, and now she's fighting against her evil twin, and it's wizardry, and it's sorcery, and it's spell casting, and it's they package it so cute, and they package it so nice, and they package it with comedy, and they package it with high school, and it's crazy. Look at Vampire Diaries. This is another one. Gang, you do not have to go far. This is primetime television. There's a vampire that becomes more in the art of witchcraft and more in the art of casting spell, and they grow stronger and stronger in this art of witchcraft, and it's crazy. Let's look what God says about this. Deuteronomy 18. Again, are we convinced that God means what he says? Are we persuaded that we are at a fight, that we're in the middle of a war to battle truth? The enemy is after truth. Now look at this. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, practices witchcraft, interprets omens, sorcerer, one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Look at this, please. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Is that mistaken, that? Oh, well, there's good witches. There's white witches. Witchcraft, bad. There's no such thing as a good witch, folks. Now look at this, Leviticus 20, 27. What does God think about it? Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Praise God, we don't do the stoning thing. Hallelujah, we've been freed from that. But God's hatred for this hasn't changed. And we watch these multicolorful, fun, comic shows. And we wonder why the satanic religion is growing leaps and bounds. Look at Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable, those are filled with hatred, and murderers and immoral persons, and sorcerers and idolaters, sorcerers, 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 and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wizards of Waverly Place, an old school one, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, or Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or for those of you who are of an age, you might remember Bewitched. She wiggles her little nose and does all kind of, you know what God says? Folks, we've been being reprogrammed over and over and over, and it is at an all-time high. It's crazy. Turn to Acts 13, I want you to see this. Listen, folks, I just want you to understand that we are in a serious, serious fight, and we need to be war ready. We need to get our teenagers ready for war. We've got to get our teenagers very aware. I mean, could you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Could you imagine them at 14? What was it that their parents taught and trained them, having no idea at 14 they were going to be ripped out of the house? Listen. They were so studious and they were so real on teaching these four the reality of who God is, to be never be convinced otherwise except God is God. He is the Jehovah. He is all powerful. God can do all things. And all they had was up to 14. And then they were on their own. What an incredible job of parenting they did. Incredible. We as parents have to get our kids war ready. This generation has to be war ready. Look at this. Great New Testament story about magic and a sorcerer. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician or a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus. That's a false god. Now look at this. Verse 7. Who was with the proconsul. This is the governing authority of this island. Your version may say attached himself, traveled with, was in association with, who was the sorcerer? Quite possibly some believe that he was the governor, that Sergius Paulus was the governor possibly of this island, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Here, look at the, please see this. He calls on Saul, who is Paul, to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You've got to unfold this. You've got to see this. Here you've got this sorcerer who's traveling with this official, and the official says, bring to me Barnabas and Saul because I want to hear the word. What is this sorcerer's response? Look at this. But Elymas, which is the sorcerer, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. His first initial thing was to fight against what? The word of God. Here this proconsul wanted to hear the word, and this evil sorcerer did one thing. He opposed Paul and Barnabas, opposing them so that what? This proconsul, this authority, his faith wouldn't hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So this sorcerer attaches himself to this governing official. He summons to hear the word of God, and he immediately goes against it. This is huge. Look at this, folks. Paul understood something, and we've got to see this, because there is a serious war, and there is a serious fight, and there's a serious battle for the salvation of mankind. And this is a one-on-one basis. And this is a one-on-one basis where we see this. And Paul shows up. Paul is radical. Paul is not ashamed. Paul is bold. Paul is confident. And this is how Paul handles this. This is great. But Saul, who was known as Paul, verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him. Could you imagine Paul just being fired up? Here he's trying to win this guy. He understands the battle that's taking place in this exact moment for this man's soul. And Paul stares right at this sorcerer. And this is what he says. This is serious. He says, you who are full of deceit. He says, you're a liar. He says, you're the son of the devil. You're the enemy of righteousness. Look what he says. Will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? You're a liar, you're a son of the devil, you're an enemy to that which is right, and when God says something is straight, you come in and try to mirror it all up and make it crooked so we can't understand it. And he looked right at this sorcerer, this wickedness, called it exactly for what it was. The Bible says God cast a blindness on this guy. And I believe the governor was saved. But there is a serious, serious fight, folks. And we think the Wizards of Waverly Place is so cute. And it's so dangerous. Because we look at the reality of the roots of that. And it's a satanic, a cult religion. And they are feeding it to our kids, a chocolate-covered spoon. That's so dangerous. Look at some else on television. Glee, very popular show. It's a description. Teenagers casually exploring sexual curiosities. That's a musical. That's okay. Come on, music is huge. Very popular. Pretty Little Liars. Okay. Just the title alone should be like a total red flag. I mean, Pretty Little Liars, great, godly show, incredible. This is going to be awesome. Shoplifting compulsions, affairs with teachers, sexual betrayals, bisexual experimentations. Are you kidding me? This is over and over and over. Gang, this is prime time. You don't have to climb to the high numbers on the tube to find this stuff. This is prime time television. Listen, this is the reality. 365 days a year, they are cramming this stuff down your throat, down your kid's throat, down the teenager's throat, down the young people's throat, over and over and over through music, through the artists that are singing. Most of these artists can't figure out what side of the fence they're on. And they brag about it. And it's little by little by little by little, we are becoming desensitized to being totally convinced that God meant what he said. This is so real, folks. You know what's amazing is they can do something like this every day of the year. And if I were to stand up here and give a message like this once a month, 12 times a year, I'd be considered radical and extreme. But they can jam this chocolate-covered spoon down my kid's throat every day of the year, and that's just fine. Well, that is not fine with me. Gang, we got to really seriously wake up. The reprogramming that the enemy is trying to put down our throats. This is not okay. And you guys could sit here and look and say, Sean, you don't even know. I've not seen any of these shows. I'm going on reviews. You would probably say, Sean, that's not even the worst of it. You should see the cartoons today. You should see some of these shows that are just filthy. They don't hold a candle to some of the stuff. You may be more, so much more aware of it than I do. Okay, we have got to understand there's a serious fight and there's a serious war. Just as these guys were being reprogrammed by the king, when they faced what they had to face in that fiery furnace, they had everything that they need and their spirit to say, no, there's only one true God. Because they were fully convinced of who he was. You and I, folks, it comes down to us believing this. Or is this something old to you? Is this something that doesn't relate to today? Is this something that's old school? Have we been reprogrammed to accept that and think that that's okay? Because we are in a serious, serious fight. And it's funny because we actually wonder why there's so many young people doing so many bad things today. I mean, it's a serious problem. And we actually stop and think, well, why? I can't believe it. How could it be so bad? Well, how could it not be so bad? How are we so surprised? As those who know the truth, how are we so surprised? When we're seeing this and it's in front of us and it's on our television over and over and over, and we have become so desensitized to this, that we're shocked when something crazy happens. Or we're shocked when teenagers are pregnant and having sex. We're shocked when we think that that's modern family and that's normal. Why are we so shocked by that? When it is in front of our kids over and over and over. Parents, are we doing the job necessary to say, you've got to compare everything to this? You've got to look at this and say, God says that's wrong. God says that's not good. Sex before marriage is wrong. God says that that's not family at all. God says that that's not normal at all. This is what God says. And son, you're going to have to stand your ground. And we have to come to this point to believe this. Olivia, you're going to have to stand your ground. Carter, you're going to have to stand your ground. You've got to compare everything to this book. And if it doesn't line up with this, it's wrong. And you've got to be fully convinced in all the battles and all the suffering and all the pressure and everything that's coming at you that you know that this is right and you know that this is true and you know that God is able. And whom shall I fear? I'm not going to be afraid of the world. I'm not going to be afraid of what they think. I am convinced that this is real. And God meant what he said and it's serious today. But we are becoming so desensitized because it is over and over and over. Crazy. It's crazy. And please, if you're watching these shows, we had so many tears earlier because they said, they come up afterward and said, I have failed. I have failed as a parent. I have failed as a teenager. This is a mom and a daughter. Incredible, powerful. And they say, our television will not be the same again. And I'm like, the only way you fail is if you leave this place and don't change something you know is wrong. Right. I said, we, in that family, we took ground for the kingdom of God this morning. Because they leave changed. And they leave not the same. That's victory, folks. That's taking ground for the kingdom of God. That's knowing the war that's right in front of us and fighting with everything we got. Saying, listen, I see it now. I've identified this. I've been educated, so I see where all of this is headed. And I no longer want that in my home. And I no longer want that before my child. And that's victory, folks. That's not failure. That is total victory and taking ground for the king in our homes. That's huge. Huge. Come on. Oh. Oh my goodness. Brennan, come on up. Last verse right here. Colossians 2:8. This is the deal. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principle of this world, rather than according to Christ. Folks, we are His. He has the only say. He doesn't have the final say. He's got the only say. I'm begging you, please, you compare everything that comes into your home. Is it according to Christ or is it according to this world? Folks, in my home, there's no secret passwords. In my home, my children know. I will check your texts. I will read your texts. I'll read what's coming in. I'll read what's going out. Amen. They have my password. There's nothing secret. They can check my texts all day long. They can check anything that there's no secret passwords. Parents need to parent. The kid is not in charge. And we have to look at this and say, there's no secret password on Facebook. There's no secret password to the email. There's no secret password to, not at all, not in my home. And they know that, and they're fine with that. They're not hiding anything. What a great place to be when you don't have to hide anything. They have our password. They can get into any account that we ever get into. Folks, we have got to be very aware of the deception that is trying to take place. Be very aware of what's coming into our homes. College students, you need to wake up. The enemy is after your generation. I believe your generation can make a life-changing impact to this world. True. To the world. And if you allow the enemy to desensitize you, he has rendered you useless. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, I ask that you just seal this in our hearts. God, we want to be war ready. We want to be a church that continues to plow and take ground for your kingdom, where we will do everything in our power to set our eyes on Jesus. Watch you move in the lives of mankind and advance your kingdom with everything we have, being war ready, being warriors, soldiers for you, fighting the good fight. Father, help us in this. Challenge us this morning. Challenge us this morning to change. If you could just stand up for me, please. If you are here with a teenager, if you're here with a young person, if you're here with a college student and you are an overseer of that college, or you're a parent. Parents, I'm asking you put your hand on your child right here and right now, and let's just ask God to protect our homes. God, we've heard truth this morning. God, as parents, we just ask that we would be so bold and confident and be so protective of what comes into our home. Be so protective of these amazing gifts that you've given to us. God, they are our gifts from you, and that we would train them and teach them in the way that they would go, that they would always understand and be fully convinced and persuaded that you are God and your word is absolute. So Father, as parents, I pray for boldness and I pray for confidence. God, as young people, as teenagers, I pray for just a great respect and reverence for the parents. To honor your parents as they want to love and care and lead you in a way that leads to godliness, righteousness. Father, we pray for the college students that they would be a driving force to what is right, a driving force to righteousness, a driving force to light and salt. God, that they would be a driving force, God, in college, making a difference in their worlds, going out to the world, God, that they would be a driving force to what is right according to your word. And they would be war ready. Father, as parents, we ask for discernment. We ask for wisdom. We ask for discretion. That God, by your Holy Spirit, would be led to build our families, to build our children in a way of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.